Well, I've discussed these topics so many times. My objection to women being gurus in ISKCON in the present situation is not an ontological one, but it is that, in other words, women are not debarred just because they have a woman's body. Any spirit soul can be a guru, theoretically, although generally it has traditionally been male humans who have been. So my outlook is this, as I understand it, that a major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, which our movement to a large extent has neglected, is the establishment of Varnashram Dharma, in which women have a particular role to play, a socially subservient role. Now, I'm viewed by some as being a hater of women because I don't accept what is propagated in the modern age, that the history of mankind is one of suppression of women, and that now women have a better situation in the modern age than they ever had because they're given equal rights. I don't accept this. Not that I come from an extreme right-wing background, actually not at all. But this is what I imbibe from Srila Prabhupada. You may call me an extreme conservative. I saw some comments, someone called me old school. Yeah, old school. Imang vivasvate yogam proktavana hamavyayam vivasvananave praho manorikshvakave bravit. It's the same old thing that Krishna spoke to the sun god millions of years ago. It's this, the old is good. It's the new ideas that are the problem. So, I see that although theoretically women can have equal roles socially on the basis of their Krishna consciousness, even in a society where Varnashram was well established, that was a rarity. What to speak of at the present time where Varnashram isn't established and the need to establish it is so very strong. What's going on in our society is, in the present time as I see it, is that women are being granted equal status on the theorem that it's a spiritual consideration, whereas actually it is a concession or a compromise with the modern way of thinking in which the discrimination between men and women is not there. And according to traditional societies and Varnashram society, the discrimination should be there. Discrimination between, not discrimination against. Discrimination is required. Discrimination doesn't necessarily mean that you are against someone, but you see the difference and intelligently act accordingly. Traditional societies were very circumspect in the matter of separating the roles of men and women because matra swasa tu hitrava navi vektasano bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvansan apikarshati. The attraction between man and woman is so strong that even a learned person can be agitated by sitting close to even to his mother, sister or daughter, as Srila Prabhupada would often quote, and this verse appears both in Bhagavatam and Manu Sanghita. So it is a very real consideration in spiritual advancement and in organization of human society in an actually civilized way. Therefore, my point is that better that women and men take to their varnashram roles as Srila Prabhupada wanted. This should be the direction of our movement. And later, if there are some exceptional cases, we can consider if they're going to be... they can take the role of guru, which, although it is intrinsically spiritual, it actually has many social ramifications. It's a social role also. Now, what I see at the present time is that there are several female devotees who have left their husbands, divorced their husbands, separated from their husbands, who are not under anyone's protection, who are traveling around independently. And I don't see that this is a good role for women according to that which Prabhupada said. If we actually see what Prabhupada spoke about the role of women, then Prabhupada was very conservative. He did act with his young Western female disciples. He was very liberal with them, but he made it clear what the standard he wanted to be. Now, if they have a strong preaching spirit, should they not be gurus? Yes. And again, I've answered this many times. Let them be gurus, but in the way that women always are gurus. The first guru in Vedic culture is the mother, according to Shastra. The first guru is the mother. Let them administer Krishna consciousness within their own families. Let there be families and grandmothers who help to look after the children, who bring up the children physically and spiritually. Let them be gurus in that way, in the traditional way. Strong preaching spirit, yes, Prabhupada did encourage his disciples to go and men and women to very vigorously preach and spread Krishna consciousness. But so husband and wife teams, I don't see that he sent women out alone for preaching. So if a husband and wife are dynamically spreading Krishna consciousness together, then the wife of the guru is automatically she's the guru mata. She, just like Radha and Krishna, are the two moities, or moiety means equal parts. They're the two moieties of the absolute truth. So a similar example is, Krishna is the absolute truth, but Radha is there as his Shakti. So the guru is a householder and his wife is an indispensable part of the equation. She's the sahadharmini, one who performs religious activities along with him, or ardangini, half of the body. So in this way, let them be gurus. Okay, that's enough.
We see that Nityanand Prabhu's wife, Chanwa Mata, was a guru and was initiating.
Yeah,
she was initiating.
Yeah, often the example is given of Janava Mata, Hemlata Thakurani. But like I say, they were already within a traditional setup. They were exceptional, just like Hemlata Thakurani. It's said that when she was serving prasad, her cloth became loose, so she manifested two extra hands to hold her cloth up. So these are not ordinary women. These are the internal... Janava Mata is the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.